So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your blessings of this day. It's been a great day, Yahweh, and we thank you for it. We thank you for having a place like this and being able to come and get together and worship you and fellowship with one another. We just love you and love each other. And we ask for your blessings on for this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay. The only thing I had, and I thought Dee was going to announce it or whatever, or make a note about it, and I don't see her, so I don't know if she's coming late or not coming. We were talking about last week about weeds, and there not being any potatoes out there. Well, she went and dug around the weeds, and there's potatoes out there, apparently quite a bit. Now, I don't know, she didn't finish. But she was so excited about it, she had to call us and tell us, there's potatoes in the ground. It's kind of weird because there's no plants above it. It's just potatoes in the ground. And it reminded me of the movie that we saw, Faith Like Potatoes, where all the plants died and there were potatoes in the ground. They didn't even know if there was potatoes in the ground until they started digging and they found potatoes. It's a sad movie. It's a good movie, but it's a very sad movie because a little boy gets hurt. Not good. But, you know, that's how things happen sometimes. When you least expect it, Yahweh does something different than what you were expecting.
We actually dug some potatoes
this morning.
Okay. We found
some right. Really, really potatoes out there. Even though they're weeds, it seems God intervened and changed the shape of the of the weeds. We're going, you're not going to be doing what you think you're going to be doing. One of the things that, in studying fear, that I read and see, and that is that Satan, our enemy, is always trying to preempt something. He's always attacking beforehand, even with Yeshua. He attacked beforehand. The first thing happened was Yeshua was baptized, and then the Holy Spirit leads him into the desert, or in a deserted land. And what happens? Satan shows up and tries tempting him to start with. And he just quoted scripture to him, you know, and eventually left. James 4:7 verse, resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Really did happen to him. And what he showed them, I've seen a movie on it. It was like off the chart what he offered him. But the only thing he offered him was something he already had. The Father just hadn't released it to him yet. So sometimes he gives us stuff, and he hasn't released it yet. I was just talking about singing. I was to Roxanne, and she said, so you sing? And I'm thinking, all my life I've been singing. I used to lead worship and stuff like that in different churches, different groups. And a musician, I play drums mainly. So I was either playing the drums or singing, one of the two. And I just, you know, God gave me that gift because I can't read music, but I can listen to it, and I can figure out what key you're playing in, and I can almost figure out where you're going next. And so when you're playing drums, you kind of have to do that, and a lot of times I would lead with drums, and you hear the beat change with the drums, and then the rest of the music comes along. And that's just how drumming is, and the other thing you have to do is figure out that both your hands are going in different directions, both your feet are going in different directions, and you still got to keep time. Usually most instruments, whether you play the guitar, piano, whatever, you can pat your foot and keep time with one foot and do the other things. Playing drums doesn't work quite like that. You can keep time with your foot, but it's busy doing something on its own. So you have to learn how to play moving four parts of your body at the same time in different directions. And that's why most people don't play drums. They get sidetracked. You know, it's kind of like that old thing about pat your head and rub your tummy. Can you do that? Or pat your tummy and rub your head? You'd be surprised how many people cannot do that. As a drummer, you can do both hands. and they're like, wait, do what now? Yeah, and so it's just a gift. But I acknowledge, I get it from God. He gave it to me. It's one of those things that I was born with, I think, because my mom said I played on her pots and pans from the beginning of time, she said. I said, just as soon as I could walk to the cabinet, and I'd open the cabinet doors and get pots and pans out of banging them. I'm like 3 years old, 4 years old. And she said, you actually kept time, and I kept telling your dad, he's really good on these pots, you know. And so eventually, because I kept borrowing other people's drums, and I'd bring them home and play them, and then eventually they bought me a set, and I played them for years, that same set. And then one day I met another little young man that needed the set, and I gave them to him, and as far as I know, he's still playing them too. So, but it was a gift from God, because I still can't read music. But I do enjoy it, and I do enjoy playing drums and or any kind of percussion instrument. I don't care if it's one of those little eggs or whatever you got. The little, we have rods that make all kinds of noises, those kinds of things. So I enjoy that because it's a gift he gave me. And even I noticed even yesterday I was standing in the kitchen, banging on the kitchen sink while waiting for the what we call light water to process. And I'm standing going, well, that's pretty cool. I didn't even think about it. I'm just playing, you know, and playing a song. My songs run in my head most of the time anyway. And it's just a gift from God. You've got gifts that God has given you. When you're in that gift, it's amazing how you can flow with it. Whether it's might be dancing or it might be something else. You might be good at dictation or you might be good at typing. Now, I used to be good at typing. Placed third in the state. Can't type a thing with both hands anymore. Nothing. I'm two fingers, one, two. I'm getting pretty fast at that. But it's sad when you think about it. Wait, when I was senior in high school, I placed third in the state I was in. And now I can't even type that way. So somewhere along the way, I lost it. I think it was about 45 words a minute. The ladies always type about 60 words a minute. But when they time you, and that's no mistakes. That's the key. So for guys, the top was only about 55 words a minute to 57 words a minute on a typewriter. And we didn't use electric. We used the old manual. Punch, you know. And then you slap it across. And in a room full of about 60 people trying for a first place, you're talking about something funny looking. You look out there, everybody's going, just slapping stuff, you know. And every now and then, one of them get too excited, slap it too hard. It fall off the table because we had these little tiny tables. So anyway, that's just something funny that happened. And you think about that, and I think, Lord, that was so funny to watch. They even be part of it, for one thing, and then have fun with it. Now it's like almost hunt and peck, but I'm pretty good at two fingers, though. Rhonda was talking last week about we're in the last days and how the Lord has warned us of what's coming. We're still in the last days, and we still know it's coming. And so I'm just to remind you that it's still coming, you know. Regardless of what the news says or doesn't say, it's still going to be coming. I'm watching the kids do the pat on your head, rub your tummy back there. It's funny to watch them. And let me get these glasses. A strange thing happened to me. I picked up my reading glasses. I took them out, put them on, and I looked down. I can't see. And I'm like, wait, what's wrong with this picture here? I can't see what I wrote. And I picked up one of my old glasses that has prescription in it. And I thought, oh, no, my eyes have gone bad. That's bad. And then, I mean, they look just like these. In fact, they are identical, almost. And then I'll go, wait, why does that magnify like that? And then I found out I got the wrong pair. And I had trouble with it all day today trying to read the notes I'm writing. And I've been doing this all day. I felt like a chicken. You know? And I didn't figure it out till just now. Thankfully, I had a spare pair. And this one's the same strength. It's just a reading glasses all the way across. But it took me quite a while for it to dawn on me what was happening. So I thought, man, so for a minute there, I was a little bit scared. And I'm like, wait, this is not good. Lord, what's happening here? Of course, they didn't say anything one way or the other, but it made me nervous, maybe a little fearful. And I thought, this is funny because I'm talking on fear tonight.
and that kind of a thing that's going on. But we have a blessing before I teach. We're going to have some worship time, praise and worship time, and Sue's volunteered to come. And so if y'all would get comfortable, and let's see what the Lord has to say.
Hello. Ooh, that's really hot. I just so appreciate being here. I was called to be a worship leader long, long, long time ago, and I was resisted at every turn for a long time. And I had kind of laid that down until I came to this conference in June, and I was really just overcome with gratitude and joy that somebody actually asked me to lead worship again. So I'm just very thankful for the opportunity to be able to share with you guys. No words tonight, so hopefully you know these, or just you can make up your own. I like to give thanks to start out. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. You guys feel free to stand up or move around or lay down on the floor if you want, just whatever. Posture your heart for the Lord. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. Give thanks. Just give thanks to the Lord tonight. Give thanks. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that we are not the same. We've been changed and renewed. We've been made new by you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, for thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh Lord, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. I exalt thee, O Lord. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee, O I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can we just clap for the Lord? Just lift up a praise. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond. You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. 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 Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool. I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool. I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. 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 And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool. I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool. I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. 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 The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Sing it again. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great. Is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all. You're the name above all names. We need that drum, Danny. Worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. One more time. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. name above. Name above all names. Worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. Name above all names. You are the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great. My heart will sing how great. My heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God? I was just thinking about that. Everyone will see, all will see, that moment when all will see. I am ready for that moment. I'm longing for that moment when all will see, all eyes will be open. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Yeshua is Lord. Amen. To the glory of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about fear.
Fear.
We started this 3 weeks ago, and I started with the dictionary.
It's not recording.
Okay.
Yeah, he reminded me it's not recording if you don't pick up the mic. So I like people to participate. So I'm going to call on you in a minute. So think about fear. See what you think about. Webster described it as two different things. One was a painful emotion, or one was a passion, excited passion. And it has another long, drawn-out thing. And we talked about fear. There's the filial fear, the kind that you revere God. And then the slavish is the kind where you're afraid of something, and you're afraid it's going to do something. In Jeremiah 32:39, if you have your Bibles, want to turn there, it'll take a minute to find it. If you're like me, you have to look it up sometimes. I can't always remember the Old Testament books where they are. But at least they're in one spot. I can just flum through them for a while. 32:39. Let's find that. Okay. Actually, it starts with 38. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. So he's chosen them. And I will give them one heart, one way, that they may fear me always for their own good and for the good of their children after them. Well, you can guess who he was talking to then. Was talking to the Israelites. Yes. Well, the good part about that is there's another verse. Romans 3:29 that really goes along with this. What are we looking at? In order to find the books, I have to sing them usually in my head. If you didn't learn the song, it's time to learn the song. It's a lot of fun. Learn it with grandkids, if you have them. Romans 3:29. I may even back up a minute here. Let's see. Let's find it. It says, is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. So anything that you find that are promises from Yahweh for the Jews, he is your God also if you're not a Jew. You get the same promises. And there's another verse, and I meant to look it up, but I got sidetracked with something else. And it says, all the promises that he made to the Jews are available to you. You just have to receive them. You know, it's like rain. It rains on the just and the unjust. And it depends on what you do with it as to whether or not you receive it. If you need water, if you just stand there and open your mouth, you're just going to get a little bit. If you get a bucket or something to collect it in, you can collect a lot to drink. And, you know, it sounds so simple when you think about it, but it's amazing. People talk about it's a drought, it's a drought, and they worry about the rain. Well, God's going to make it rain sooner or later unless a prophet has been told to pray against it. So it might pay to find out, is there a prophet that's been told to pray against it? Because when they finally do pray for it, it appears as a tiny cloud, just a little tiny cloud, about the size of a hand, I believe it says. And the next thing you know, it's pouring down rain. So you have to receive whatever it is the Lord has. You have to receive with your hands open, not just a little bit of place, but you really receive it. And so that's how fear is. Fear of God, you have to receive it. You have to accept the fact, and we were just singing how great he is, how marvelous he is. So great in that song that we can't describe him. We don't have the words for God. We see what he does, but there's not enough words in our English language to describe him. Because every time we think, okay, how great he is, we can always put another great in front of it. Great, great he is. And great, 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 great he is. You know, and so we can try to fear him and revere him in awe. He says right there in Jeremiah, he puts it in their heart and for the generations to come. So he's put it in us already. We just have to open ourselves to it. You have to choose. We have a gift of choice. It's a free gift. He gave it to us. And that's why there's evil in the world and good in the world. You can choose evil or you can choose good. And a lot of people choose evil. And Satan loves it. If you choose evil, he'll leave you alone. He's looking for those that are trying to do good. And you can tell the ones that are trying to do good because they're spiritually attacked all the time. Because Satan is not going to bother the people that aren't doing good. They're fine. He's satisfied with them. So why would he mess with them? Why would the demons mess with them? They're not. So you don't have to fear because God's already won the war. But you do have to prepare your heart for the challenges that are ahead. Yeah. You know, it's just, so we do have fear, real fear. Let me get this thing straight here. In the last days, which I believe we're in the last days, Satan is after us. The enemy is after us. What's really funny is if you work with, I shouldn't say work, if you encounter demons, they don't really work together. They don't get together and plot things out. They just try to do damage and fear. And if they're not careful, they'll be fighting against one another, trying to control someone. Because they don't work together. That's not what they do. What Satan is trying to do in these last days is to bring every single person in under fear. Every church, every body, every business, everything that he can, that's one of his number one, if not the number one tool, that he uses to hold you in bondage. If you're afraid of something, you're like, I just don't think I can do that. I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't think I want to do that. Because, why? Well, a lot of different reasons. One of the things that happens when you're in fear and you get under that power of fear. My mother got under that one time. We called it the poverty spirit. She was afraid they would not have enough money. Because one time my dad was out of work. And while he was out of work, we lost everything we had. And he was only out of work 3 weeks. I think it was three weeks work. But he could never make it up. So the bank repossessed everything we had. We left everything we could carry with was our clothes and stuff and a little bit of furniture in the back of a pickup truck. And we moved into a house that was condemned because it was the only thing he could get into. Now they can't take your house, but back then they could. And they've changed the rules and laws so that if you have a house, they have to keep your house. They have to work out some arrangement. If it's not but $10 a month, there has to be some kind of arrangement. But back then, they could repossess your house, and the banks did. They repossessed houses coming and going every chance they got. There's no what I call mercy involved in that. They were like, hey, another house, let's take that one. So we lost everything, and my mom got fearful. Even when Dad was working and we were, you know, had income coming in, she got fearful. The rest of her life, almost, she was afraid of not having money. I think that's one of the reasons why they didn't have a lot of money, because she was afraid of losing it. So they were not so much into giving. Now, they believed in tithing. They did that. But beyond that, you know, they just like, oh, we should hang on to this for a rainy day. Well, the rainy day never came, and she died. And Dad's still there. He's still at that same level of, well, I'm tithing. That's what the Lord asks, and that's what I'm doing. But beyond that, he just doesn't do it because he's afraid. He's afraid he's not going to have enough, and he might not. But who are we depending on? And now he doesn't work. He's retired. He's 95 years old and trying his best to be 50 again. He just had surgery and sent me a picture the day after surgery sitting home eating sandwich for lunch. And he just had surgery that morning at 6 o'clock. And he's like, well, I wanted to come home. So I came home. Because I'm comfortable at home and I can sleep at home. I can't. And he's right. You can't sleep in a hospital. You're not there for rest, that's for sure. So, but he's still fearful. And he still believes that God is a judge and only a judge. I've tried to talk to him. Rhonda's tried to talk to him. But he's just not open, you know. And that's one of the differences of being here. If you're here, you're open. You're open to what the Lord has. Your fear is sometimes real in what you're doing. Your fear is real. But if you're here, you're willing to get past that fear to build a relationship with Yahweh and Yeshua and the Holy Spirit so that you can overcome whatever fear it is you have. I remember as a teenager, I was afraid of failure. I was afraid of certain things. One time, I was driving home from work. I think I was 16. Driving home from work, and there was a fire at this market, and the farmer's market there in June's a very busy place. There's hundreds and possible thousands of people there because they ship tons of watermelons. It's like listed as like the watermelon capital of the world almost. But there was a fire, and there was a fire truck. And it was one of these great big long ones full of water, a tanker. And they had a new guy driving it. And when he pulled in, he took too sharp a turn, and it rolled over. Well, in the back, they have all these firemen riding. So he's driving, guy here, and then there's seats behind it, and then there's the tanker. And one of these guys, one or two of these guys got pinned under it. One of them could have been my uncle, and that's what I was afraid. I was afraid I was going to walk up there, and he would be under that tanker. And, you know, I liked him. I loved him. I loved all my uncles. They were all great guys, all Christians. And I was so fearful, I couldn't go up there. And God and I had a meeting right then. I'm standing outside my car. I pulled off the road and standing outside my car. And I told him, I'm tired of this. I don't want this anymore. So I gave it to him. And from that point on, I didn't have fear. The kind that, I don't know if I can do this or not. I just didn't have it. And it makes a difference in your life. You'll try all kinds of things that you wouldn't normally try and do. You know, you experiment with this job or that job. You won't stay just because it's a job. You'll go, wait, no. Because you're not afraid of lack of money. You're not afraid of losing, not having a job. Because that fear is gone. God's the one in charge anyway. He's taking care of me. So whatever job I got or whatever I'm doing, he's taking care of me. And it took that point, and I remember that in my life, standing outside my car, traffic's cars going every place, and people screaming over there. Some of the guys were screaming. And all of a sudden, the screaming stopped, and I could see it. And what they did was, I don't know how many men, I couldn't count, there were so many, ran over, lined this truck up with men wall to wall, and picked that truck up and set it back up off of them. I mean, it was supernatural. They shouldn't have been able, this is a tanker, had like maybe 3,000 gallons of water or something like that in it, but they did. And I could have been one of them, but I was too fearful to go to it. But from that point on, if it happened, anything like that, an accident happened, I'd stop. I could help. Before, if I'd seen an accident, I'd just have to pray and go past them. I couldn't stop. But from that point on, I could stop. And that's what you can do. You can give it to God. You can give your fear to God. Whatever you're afraid of, whatever your fear is, you can give it to Him and take care of it. So that was one of my turning points in my life when I realized just how great God was, how powerful He was. He took it, and I've never had it back. Some people say, well, you're a bit arrogant sometimes. No, I'm not. I'm just not afraid. Just not afraid. And so whatever I'm doing, if it's not working out, if it's a job, I'll quit. Believe me, I had a lot of different jobs until I find the one that's I'm supposed to be at, or the thing I'm supposed to be doing. It's like we started ministry, and I started full-time ministry. The Lord said, when you do full-time ministry, it's going to be like jumping off a cliff. And it was. Everything's rocking along fine. I wasn't afraid of anything. They show up. They tell me they've sold the business. You're out of work. Call the workers. Tell them don't come in. Great. And I'm laughing. And they're like, well, we brought somebody to pray for you so you won't. Don't have to worry about it. I'm sure God will feel it. I could care less. I was not afraid at all. In fact, I was excited because I prayed and said, Lord, I want to go to this conference for 7 days. I don't have any vacation. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you'll do it. Easy. You close the business. So what you pray for, you be prepared, you know. So, but I wasn't fearful. I was laughing. I'm walking out the door, and they go, well, it's going to be out. I said, you don't understand. I'm excited. I'm not the least bit afraid that I don't have a job tomorrow. Yeah. He got me this far. got us to Kansas City telling us, one, the first thing you're going to happen when you get there is you're going to lose your job. This is a job later on. And so we came anyway. So we weren't afraid. Even though the first thing you said is going to happen, and in 30 days I'd lost my job. You know? But we came anyway. It didn't matter. Because he said, come. And so we weren't really afraid of it. But just the stuff that's happened to us since we've been here, you know, and like this farm, signing for this farm. They were asking, you know, megabucks. And he said, sign. So I signed. Do we have the money in the bank? No. We had like $12,000 in the bank, and it was like $1.4 million, you know, and I gave them $10 as earnest money, and they accepted that, and we're like, whatever. But there was no fear. I was not afraid. Now, Richard's a little different. He's constantly going, Danny, Richard, just quit worrying about it. We're going overseas. He's, what? We're going on a mission trip. What about a fun? No, we're just going overseas. That's where we're supposed to go. We come back after our trip, and we send out a newsletter. And the money came in 6 weeks, and it just shocked him to pieces. He couldn't wait to call Elizabeth to tell her about it. He was like, you're going to believe this. Not going to believe this. And I'm like, oh, I believe it. You know, and it happened. It is here. The building you're in, same thing happened to just this building. I'm looking for something else. And God says, tell him, yes, you'll take the building. It's supposed to have been for horses. But he had other plans. And so we set it on the ground for about 6 months because we didn't have any money to do anything else. So it just sat there. This metal building just sat there. He gave me all kinds of ideas. Everything you see in here, he gave me an idea of where to lay it out, where to do it, what to do with all this. I wasn't fearful about it. I drew it out on a legal pad. And then we built it. You know, well, I didn't build all of it, but Al was in charge. I tried to put Al in charge of it. I said, you used to build them with these things. You're in charge. I just draw things, okay? You know, and it was just like, no, there was no fear. I knew God had said, and I heard. See, that's the other thing. I knew I'd heard because I believed I'd heard him before, and it sounded just like him. And when you get a building and it's sitting on the ground and it's 100 by 100 by 100, you know, that's a square building, and you don't have a dime for a foundation, but you know it's coming, you can get fearful. You can think about, I need to do a fundraiser. I need to do this. Or I need to do. That's not what we did. We went on a mission trip. He said, go on a mission trip. So we went on a mission trip. And then people just showed up. Volunteers, people volunteered. Didn't know half of them. And then, so they got the outside done and no insides. And then we had another group come and do the insides. And then nothing in here was done. You know, it's just the floor and foundation stuff. And the guy that poured the foundation, he goes, you got any more to pour? I'll give you a discount. I said, no, I think this one's big enough for right now. We'll work on this one, this project. But we really weren't fearful. But you can get fearful. You can worry yourself to death. You can get depressed. You get all kinds of things about being fearful. I was not fearful over this heart attack I had. In fact, I was talking to God about it when I'm laying on the thing and he's operating on me. And I'm like, this wasn't my idea. He said, wasn't mine either. And I said, okay. From that point on, I wasn't fearful. I wasn't thinking I was going to die. I wasn't thinking I was going to die to start with. But after I talked to him, I had clarity. I wasn't fixing to die. And so, you know, but we're under attack. I'm under attack. Rhonda's under attack. The farm is under attack. I don't want y'all to get wrapped up in fear. Bev's under attack, you know. There's attack. So, that's our life. It's what we signed up for. I know, because Yeshua said, in this life you'll have trouble. Well, he wasn't talking to unsaved people. He was talking to us people, those that are following him. And so you're going to have trouble in this life. Well, it took a while to get to me, but it got there eventually. You know, along the way, there's all kinds of stuff. So fear. I wrote down a couple of things. Our goal is not to have fear to control us. In Romans 14:23, for whatever is not from faith is sin. If fear controls you, then fear becomes your Lord, and it becomes an idol in your life, and that is sin. So if you're fearful, you know, you got to turn it, give it to Yahweh, give it to Yeshua or the Holy Spirit, whatever he brings to mind, however he brings it to mind, that's what you want to do. And this world is not easy to live in. It's getting worse and worse. In fact, it talks about how bad it's going to be in the end, like in the days of Noah. You think about that for a minute. You think about the days of Noah. There was like 8 people. Everybody else is drowned. That was a remnant. Well, hopefully there's more than 8 people left over for the remnant. But the Lord said in Revelation that if he hadn't shortened the days, there wouldn't be any left over. So it makes me wonder how many. But I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about, well, what if I don't make it to the last days? What if I die before then? And instead I wound up with Yeshua. Have I lost anything? No. Have I gained? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Milm just gained tremendously. And almost makes you jealous of her sometimes. If you seriously think about it, like, man, maybe I should have just died on an operating table. I'd already be there, you know. I said, almost. So one of the things we battle with as humans is fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, or fear of humiliation. Now, this is where you guys come in. Let me ask you, what are some other fears other than rejection, failure, embarrassment, or humiliation? What's some other fears? And you can just call it out. I'm going to write it on this board, maybe. What's another fear that you have? What's the fear you have that you have to battle with?
Change.
Of change. What else?
What
control. Ooh, that's a big one. What else we got?
What people think.
What people think. Well, I said that one because, yeah, it's.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, but we'll put it down. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of embarrassment or humiliation.
Yeah, fear of future.
And so, what people think. And that comes under rejection. You're wondering, are they going to reject me? What are they going to think of what I'm thinking about?
Snakes and bugs in the back.
Huh?
I heard snakes and bugs.
Snakes and bugs. Critters.
Well, we'll call it snakes and bugs. That would be the name for critters.
Spiders.
All right, snakes and bugs. Insects and snakes. And I'm not afraid of snakes. I will shoot one in a heartbeat. And bugs, I will stomp on them. Mem loved to kill flies. Do what?
What about the ones you can't see?
Oh, you're afraid of the ones you can't see?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be scary then to be afraid of the ones I can't see.
I used to fear going to sleep.
And darkness. Afraid of the dark. That happens especially with little kids. Makes you wonder why. I was never afraid of the dark. I was always frustrated because we had to go to bed so early, but then we got up at 4 something in the morning. If you want to see Dad in the morning, You had to get up about 4:30 because he was gone at 5. So.
Unknown.
Yeah, that's a big one. And what do we do with the fear of the unknown? We attack it, don't we? If we don't know what it is, the military has a tendency just to shoot it down. You know? That's the first thing. That's what they do. Well, it's not one of ours. Shoot it down. What else?
Fear of loss.
Yeah. What else that you might be dealing with? I'm sorry, what?
Fear of lack.
Fear of lack. Like a poverty spirit or whatever you want to call it. Lack. Don't have enough. I tell you, America has enough of just about anything you want. You look at all these storage buildings going up everywhere. We have so much, we have to put it in storage. I'm like, man, I haven't had a storage bin in a long time. It all fits in my garage, though. So it's still a storage. Do what?
Silence.
Fear of silence. How about knowledge? Fear of lack of knowledge. I'm sorry, what? Fear of people and what?
Authority.
Authority. Losing control. Yes, control, whether you're losing or having it or whatever. Loss of control. So, the question is, what would you do with these if you had any one of these? Yeah, you need to renounce it for one thing, or repent for believing it and not believing God. Yeah. But you can still have certain fears, and it's legitimate. And I say that because snakes and bugs up there are definitely a certain fear that you can be legitimate. You might have an allergy to wasps that sting you. I know Rhonda does, and she gets stung, it swells up like crazy. So she's constantly afraid of the wasps. Those kinds of things. So those are legitimate. But you can still give that to the Lord too, so that you can put on an outfit and work with the bees and still know that if they sting you, it's going to hurt. But if you protection, so what are you protecting? How do you protect yourself? You get a covering on you. If you're afraid of worms or whatever on the ground, snakes, anything, then you get taller boots. So you have plenty of boot to stomp them with. I'm just saying there's some things you can do. And you can give that fear to the Lord, but it doesn't mean you have to not be afraid of snakes. I don't like snakes. I'm not afraid of them, but I just don't like them. You know, I have a terrible philosophy. It's really against the law. The only good snake's a dead snake, you know. I don't see any really good ones that are alive. I really don't, you know, because they're always after something we got, like the eggs for the chickens. You know, and I don't particularly like the little black snakes get the eggs out of the chickens, and they'll steal them, and next thing you know, they're gone. So as you can see, it's the same thing we battle as a human. But you know what the Lord says about fear? He doesn't talk about any of those things like that.
I did not put blue ones.
You know what the Lord says? Ephesians 6:12 is His answer to fear. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So how do we, and that includes me, overcome our fears? Through Yeshua, of course. 1 John 4:16 through 19. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness. In other words, if you're fearful, you may have boldness. And in the day of judgment, because he, God, is, and so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if you're having trouble with fear, or having, like, you know, thinking there's something under your bed at night or whatever, you got to pray more, I think, and talk to God. Not necessarily pray, but talk to God about it and see if he'll take it from you. Sometimes it's that easy. Like mine was fairly easy. He took it right then. But man, up to that point, it was hard. It was difficult. But after that, wasn't long, I quit a job. Before, I would have stayed with it because it was a good job and the pay was good. But it wasn't a safe job. It wasn't safe for me. They were asking me to work with gasoline with bare hands, and I'm like, I'm not doing it. And they go, you will if you want to get paid. And I turned around and walked out. I said, then mail the check for what I have work, because I am not working with gas with my hands. No gloves, no work. But the rest of the guys that were there stayed and worked with gas with their hands. I'm like, Before that, I would have been too fearful to quit, because it was a really good paying job. Wasn't safe, but it was a good paying job. And they worked with gas all day. And, you know, there was some, I call them not very bright people, that smoked. And they just walk outside the door and light a cigarette. And just inside the door, we were working with gas and open cans. Thankfully, they never had a fire. Nothing ever blew up. But it wasn't going to be me. But had I not been delivered from that, I'd still would have stayed. Yeah. So the Lord delivered me there in more ways than one. The first step and the deliverance from fear is to have the right kind of fear, the fear of the Lord. Solomon, King Solomon, a very wise man, wrote in Proverbs. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5, I think it is. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you listen or incline your ear to the wisdom and apply your heart to the understanding. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's pretty wild. What I like about it, and I want to finish with this, is from Yahweh. And the Bible says in Psalms 33, I think it's 18 and 19, 33, 18 and 19. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Think about that for a minute. Fear him, not being afraid, but revere him, awe of him. His eye is on you. We pray for the Lord, may his face shine upon you. Not just his face, but his eyes at the same time. He's looking at you. He wants to be with you face to face, like in Song of Solomon. If he's doing that, and you're having a God encounter and meeting with him, whether you call it a God encounter or not, this thing has a blessing. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, who revere him, on those who hope for his loving kindness. So you don't even have to know for sure. You just hope he has loving kindness. He will deliver their soul from death and keep them alive, even in famine. So that's even in today. If the potatoes don't make, he's still going to keep us. If this doesn't happen, he's still going to keep us. Just look around at the fruit and stuff. You know, our trees died because of the ice that came late. So we didn't get hardly any fruit. I don't think anybody here has suffered tremendously from not having a lot of fruit. Who knows what it'll be next year? We might get three and triple. We ate some apples the other day that were frozen from 2 years ago. We had so many that we cut them up and froze them. And we used them in a pie. How sad. Apple pie. You know, peaches. I bet, that if I go in this small kitchen back here and I dig around, I might find some peaches frozen back there in one of those freezers. Not from this year. Maybe even from 2 years ago. You know, we've ate them too, and they're real good. And a peach pie. And we didn't even use sugar in it. We used that, whatever, monk fruit. I can never remember what the real name of it is. We call it monk fruit because that's who started with these monks. They couldn't raise sugar cane, so they harvested these trees and got juice from it, dried it. We call it monk fruit. It's good stuff. It takes a lot more to sweeten something, but it works. So here we have the Lord is saying, one, he's going to put it in our hearts. It's, if you're saved, he's already put it in your heart. It came with your salvation. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. And then it says, his promise that he is on the eye, his eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, who revere him. So he's watching you. Most likely what's happening is he's watching how our Savior Yeshua is working through us. And because of that, he's constantly looking at his son and how well he is being treated and how well he's treating us. And it's his blood that saves us, not our blood. It's his blood that saves us. I think it's James 1. Somewhere, it's like the second or third or fourth verse or something like that. It says, count it all joy that you're being tested, because this testing is adding up. It's kind of like, I don't know, I guess you'd call it points, sort of. You got so many stars, gold stars. I don't know about you, but when I was in elementary school, whether it was the church or a regular school, if you did good, you got a gold star. And the more you got, the better grades you got, that kind of a thing. Or you got, sometimes we gave gifts. We started a thing called, on our Saturday things with the kids, Kids Explosion. And as the kids would memorize verses, we'd give them a star, put it up there. Well, the more memory verses you could say, the more stars you got. The more stars you got, the more things you got. And we gave away everything you can imagine that somebody would give to us, like, you know, bicycles and basketballs and toys and all kinds of things. Whatever we had that was gift to us, we'd give it away. We didn't keep any of it. And so if you did all these memory verses and you could repeat them back to us, and how did that affect the neighborhood? I had mamas that would call the house and go, I just want you to know what's happening. My kids are walking around with their little groups of kids up and down the street memorizing their verses. I can hear them. They've got their piece of paper, and they're saying it up and down the street. And it's like four or five kids, and she's like, they've been to church. We raised them in church. But here they are, 12, 13 years old, 14 years old, and they're memorizing verses, walking up and down the street here, and you can hear them all through the neighborhood. I was thinking, some of these kids aren't coming here, and they're hearing these guys say this stuff. And it changed their house. It changed their life. In fact, it changed one family so much that moved. They were not the good family. They left the neighborhood. There were too many Christian kids in the neighborhood for them to handle it. They were actually Satanists. And they packed up their little house and pulled out. Because the kids were walking around speaking the Bible and praying for them. And their kids got saved. They had two kids, and they got this Satanist group told us about what's down in their basement and their little pentagram and all of this stuff. And their mom and dad are mad. And so they moved, you know. It really changed the atmosphere in the neighborhood. So you just never know exactly what influence you're having. And years later, I was at a restaurant, and this guy comes up, and a waiter, and he called me by my character name, and he said, "I want you to know, you guys inspired me." He said, "I've got an art scholarship. I'm on my way to Paris in about 30 days, and I never would have, except for the fact that I accepted Yeshua, I accepted Jesus in my heart, and I quit being afraid. And I just started doing this stuff and drawing and art and stuff." And he goes, and people noticed it and saw it, and I got jobs doing that. He said, "Right now I'm a waiter because I need some extra cash." I said, "I know paintings don't always sell a lot quick, does it?" He goes, "No, I don't." But he said, "But I'm going to Paris. And when I come back, I'll be a registered artist." He said, "That will make a difference." I said, "Well, if it doesn't work, you can always paint houses, right?" He goes, Don't say that. I said, "Okay, I won't say that again." But it's amazing what happens when you can release that fear that you have to Yahweh and move on. You just literally just move on. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you that you've given us an opportunity to think about and to do something about. Not just try, but do something about our fears. You've given us promises. You've told us what you will do for us. You've told us how to get rid of it and why. And on top of that, you've told us the blessings that you're going to give to us. And that how you so much want to be involved and walk with us on a daily basis and talk with us on a daily basis. It's just amazing how you, the God of everything, the creator of everything, would want to be with us. But we want to be with you. And we just thank you for everything that you're doing and the fears that you're releasing even now. That they're just flying off, people. They're just lifting up, and you're receiving them. And you just tuck them away in that place that you send. It's as far as from the east as from the west. And never remember it again. So we give you thanks now and bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, let's need a couple of communion peoples over there to help. And Sue, if you want to come up and play, that would be good.
Fear of death. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow, welcomed as the friends of God? Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. Your cross testifies in grace, tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not earthly confidence, it's only by your blood. What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow, welcomed as the friends of God? Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus.
As we look at this bread, it reminds us that it's the body representation here of Yeshua. He suffered for us, died for us, rose from the grave. But this bread has holes in it, and it has burnt spots. And the same thing happened to Yeshua. He was beat. His body was pierced. But no bones were broken. Prophesied that it would be that way in the Old Testament. And so we take this bread now and we say, thank you, Yahweh, for your sacrifice. And then we take this cup. To us represents his shed blood. Just imagine someone dying for you. He died for us before we were ever born, before we were ever thought of except through God. And he shed his blood for us. And because he did, he opened a door to the Father.
that no man can shut. No one. You have an open door. You have a connection there that you can talk to him. Prior to that, you didn't have it. But now, we're all as kings and priests. We have that opportunity. He was the first. Yeshua was the first of that generation, that particular type person. And we're following right along. And so we give him honor and glory. And thank you for blessing us. And thank you for offering us. You accepted the cup from Yeshua, your Father. And we accept this cup and do so in remembrance of you and say, our life, we offer it to you. In Yeshua's name, I bless it. Amen. Okay. Well, I don't know about you, but it's been a good evening for me. I have enjoyed studying and talking about this, and it stirs me up to remind myself that there's really nothing you can't give Yeshua. Even when you're laying on a table fixing to be operated on, there's nothing you can't give him that he can't take care of. So, good evening. Bless y'all.